Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, so we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 1st chapter, text 14. Sutu Vacha. Sorry? Yeah, 10.1.14. Evam nisamya bhrigun... Sorry? Not on the screen yet? Okay. Okay. Evam nisamya bhrigunandana saduvadam. Evam nisamya bhrigunandana saduvadam. Vayasa kisa bhagavan ata vishnuratam. Vayasa kisa bhagavan ata vishnuratam. Pratyarchya Krishna Charitam Kali Kalma Sagyam. Kalma Sagyam. Vyahartam Arabhata Bhagavata Pradana. Vyahartam Vyahartam Arabhata Bhagavata Pradana. Sutuvacha. Evam nisamya bhrigunandana saduvadam. Vayasa kisa bhagavan ata vishnuratam. Pratyarchya Krishna Charitam Kali Kalma Sagyam. Vyahartam Arabhata Bhagavata Pradana. Others? Vaishnavis. So, word for word, synonyms. Sutu Vacha. Sutu Goswami said, Evam, thus, Nasamya, hearing, Bhrigunandana, O son of the Bhrigu dynasty, Shonaka, Shonaka. From the last, Shonaka, son of the Bhrigu dynasty, Shonaka. Saduvadam, pious questions. Vyasaki, Sukadev Goswami, the son of Vyasadev. Sa, he, Bhagavan, the most powerful. Ataha, thus, Vishnuratam, unto Parikit Maharaj, who was always protected by Vishnu. Pratyarcha, offering him respectful obeisances. Krishna Charitam, topics of Lord Krishna. Kali Kama Sagyam, which diminished the troubles of this age of Kali. Vyaratam, to describe. Arabhata began. Bhagavat Pradana. Sukadev Goswami, the chief among the pure devotees. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Suta Goswami said, O son of Bhrigu Shonaka Rishi, after Sukadev Goswami, the most respectable devotee, the son of Vyasadeva, heard the pious questions of Maharaj Parikit, he thanked the king with great respect. Then he began to discourse on topics concerning Krishna, which are the remedy for all sufferings in this age of Kali. Purport. In this verse, the words Krishna Charitam Kali Kalmasagyam indicate that the activities of Lord Krishna are certainly the greatest panacea for all miseries, especially in the age of Kali, in this age of Kali. It is said that in the age of Kali, people have only short lives, and they have no culture of spiritual consciousness. If anyone is at all interested in spiritual culture, he is misled by many bogus swamis and yogis who do not refer to Krishna Katha. Therefore, most people are unfortunate and disturbed by many calamities. Srila Vyasadeva prepared Srimad Bhagavatam at the request of Narada Muni in order to give relief to the suffering people of this age, Kali Kalmasagyam. The Krishna Conscious Movement is seriously engaged in enlightening people through the pleasing topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. All over the world, the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is being accepted in all spheres of life, especially in advanced educated circles. Srila Sukadeva Goswami is described in this verse as Bhagavat Pradana, whereas Maharaj Parikit is described as Vishnu Ratam. Both words bear the same meaning, that is, Maharaj Prickett was a great devotee of Krishna, and Sukadeva Goswami was also a great saintly person and a great devotee of Krishna. Combined together to present Krishna Katha, they give great relief to suffering humanity. Anarto pasamam sakshad bhakti yogam adhoksajay lokasya janato vidvams chakre satpata samitam. The material miseries of the living entity which are superfluous to him can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 7th Chapter, Text 6. People in general are unaware that the message of Srimad Bhagavatam can give all of human society relief from the pangs of Kali Yuga. Kali Kalmasa Gyam. Om Aginata Mananda Shajananjana Shalakaya Chakshurna Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudevena Maha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swabhadanti Kam. So here in the translation, it's being pointed out that when Vyasadeva heard the pious questions of Maharaj Prickett, he thanked the king with great respect. So this is the standard etiquette. This is not the first time that we come across this in the Bhagavatam. Way back in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, first canto, there's, I think, the sages of... Sutta Goswami was thanking the sages of Naimisharanya. Let's see if I can remember the verse. I know it goes, Yat Krishnos Krishna Samprasam Yenam. Saduham Bhavat... What? Yet? Stop me off? Bhavad Bir Loka Mangalam. Right? Yat Krishna Samprasham Yenama superseded to that. He thanked him. He said, O sages, thank you for your questions. Only questions like these are... will enable... You know, are beneficial and enable people to understand the real... need of human form of life. Something like that. I can't remember the exact translation. But anyway, it's throughout the Bhagavatam, this is going on, that it's, you know, the person who is being asked to speak is thanking the person who's asking the questions for giving him the opportunity. So, yeah, so it's being mentioned here how the subjects of the Srimad Bhagavatam can give all relief to the society from the pangs of Kali Yuga. So the Bhagavatam is actually non-different from Krishna himself. Krishne swa damo pagate dharma ganadi bisaha kalo nasta drasamesha puranarko denodita. That verse doesn't directly state that, but it explains how the Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishne swa damo pagate dharma ganadi bisaha, that it's full of knowledge, you know, all transcendental knowledge, kalo nasta drasamesha. And this Bhagavad Purana will provide light in this dark age of Kali. I think the verse I was looking for is Idam Bhagavate Nama Purana Brahma Samitam Yat Uttama Shloka Charitam. Yeah. What's the rest of it? Shri. Translation? Oh, he's coming up with that. I'll quote another one. I think that says that it's non-different from Krishna. And so it's advised in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, Nigama Kalpatara Galitam Palam Sukamakant Amritab Dravasamyutam Pipata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Ahur Ahur Rasika Bhuvi Bhavaka, that, O thoughtful men, relish the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the it's actually spoken by Sukadeva Goswami. It's become all the more relishable because it's being passed down from Vyasadeva, ultimately from the, you know, Krishna himself. So that the Srimad Bhagavatam is being non-different from Krishna. It's pure transcendental sound vibration, also Bhagavad Gita, Hare Krishna mantra. And by getting absorbed, taking shelter of this transcendental sound vibration, which is non-different from Krishna. You got the translation? Right, literary incarnation of God. So, not different from Krishna. When we're, you know, hearing and chanting the messages of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, we're directly associating with Krishna. And Sometimes you can actually experience that. You can actually experience that. There's a nice verse, also I think it's in the first canto, it goes, Vayam tu navatip yama yat uchma shloka vikame yat shunvatam rasa gyanam swadu swadu pade pade. That the, I think it's the sages, once again, the sages of Namasharanya, they're addressing Sukadeva Goswami. They're saying, we never tire of hearing your words, you know. They become fresher at every moment. Swadu, swadu, pade, pade. At every step, we're relishing in them more and more. Because, once again, it's pure transcendental sound vibration. And when one becomes absorbed in this, then one relishes that, you know, experiences transcendental pleasure, transcendental bliss. So, as far as this sentence goes, it's can give all human society relief from the pangs of Kali Yuga. The idea... it follows on that, just like Papa sometimes gave that example, if you're cooking a pot of rice and you test a grain, and if that grain is ready, you know, if it's soft, you can go like that, and it's obviously cooked, then it's a reasonable assumption that, okay, the rice is cooked, the pot is cooked. So in the same way, if, you know, if somebody is getting absorbed in the transcendental sound vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam, or the Hare Krishna mantra, or Bhagavad Gita, or whatever, kirtan, and they are fortunate enough to experience a higher taste, we can understand from that, well, if this is possible, I mean, if I'm chanting these mantras and I'm experiencing this transcendental bliss, this stuff must be true. And it's all the claims that are being made here, such as this is the relief for all human society from all the pangs of Kali Yuga, etc., 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 we have no reason to disbelieve any of that. Just like if you go to a physician, you know, you have some serious illness or something like that, you go to a physician, you're diagnosed, he prescribes treatment, and you take that, and you find yourself getting cured, you're getting better, then you have no reason to, you know, to think that he's not a, you know, bona fide physician. You should be confident. Well, he worked. So like that, in the same way that this... A lot of devotees have, you know, experienced this themselves personally, directly, or witnessed what, you know, other devotees experiencing. So on the strength of that, we should be confident that, you know, try to take full shelter of the Bhagavatam and of, in general, getting absorbed and relishing the transcendental sound vibration, confident that this is the ultimate solution to all the problems of life. And what prevents us from doing that? Well, earlier in this purport, Papa pointed out, he said that it is said that in Kali Yuga, people have only short lives and they have no culture of spiritual consciousness. So there's that verse, once again, the first canta, Prayena Payusa Sabya Kalinas Menyugajana Manda Sumanda Mataya Manda Bhagya Vipadrutaha. That describes that the people in Kali Yuga, yeah, they have short lives, they're lazy, misguided, quarrelsome, and et cetera, and above all, unfortunate. So on that point of lazy, say, or, you know, there's a tendency, it's probably like a part of the potency, a covering potency of Maya, that despite the fact that devotees actually relish the transcendental sound vibration, I mean, you could actually, if you kind of reflect back on your own career in devotional service, you might remember different occasions when you've had, you know, the good fortune of chanting and, you know, being absorbed and experiencing transcendental bliss. And somehow or another, despite that, Maya manages to cover us over again to the point where we don't go for it. We don't try, you know, we don't really aggressively endeavor to get Krishna's mercy. That's Maya. You know, Prabhupada said, engaging in devotional service is like declaring war against the illusory energy. So when you're at war, you know, the enemy tries to defeat you. And as Prabhupada says that too, that, you know, Maya will try to allure the practitioner by various, whatever, different things. So we have to be aware of that. We have to be aware of that. So it's an amazing thing that despite the fact that you may have even experienced in your own, you know, practice of Krishna consciousness, that transcendental bliss, that higher taste, somehow or another, you know, practically sometimes at the very next moment, you know, we could be in the temple room really experiencing the nectar, relishing the transcendental sound vibration, and then go outside and overeat some Mahaprasadam and start talking Simprajalpa, and then it's just like gone. And then you can forget all about it. But we have to, that's why I said, we have to be aware that, you know, that's what's going on. That we're dealing with, it's a war. Prabhupada, right here in Los Angeles, up in that his room quarters up there, there was one conversation where I think it was Vishnu John Swami was asking him the question, how can a worldly person, he's absorbed in so many things, how can they be expected to, you know, fix their mind on Krishna and get absorbed in Krishna? And Prabhupada gave that analogy, it's like a tug of war. It's like a tug of war that, you know, for our part, we have to try to be trying to pull ourselves towards Krishna, you know, just pull and get, you know. And Maya, for her thing, is she's going to be trying to pull us the other way. It's not like there's no resistance. It's not like it's no opposition. There is. And we have to be aware of that. You know, we have an adversary, and that is Maya. And that's her job. Her job is to make sure that only living entities, jivas, that are 100% totally sincere, squeaky clean, sincere, you know, are readmitted into the association of Krishna. So... and she's pure devotee, so she's empowered to do a service. So we have to be very, you know, vigilant and very, as I mentioned, aggressively seek the mercy of Krishna. Yeah, that's actually that's the real business of the human form of life, to aggressively seek the mercy of Krishna. And when we're trying to do that, we're properly situated, and all the problems in human society come about as a result of people not doing that. And I'll explain. Because the nature of a living entity is to have some sort of kama, you know, calm, desire. You can't be, Prabhupada says, the living entity is not a dead stone. It can't be without desire. So we have to strongly desire something. We're supposed to be strongly desiring to get the mercy of Krishna, be engaged in devotional service. But in the absence of that desire, if we misuse our free will and we don't take shelter of that desire, then we're going to be engaged in occupations dictated by the illusory energy. How's it go? He kas chitshanam api jatu tishtati akarmakrit karyatehi avasha karma sarva pakriti jagannatha. All living entities are forced to act helplessly according to the impulses born of the three modes of material nature. No one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. And in the purport to that, Prabhupada, he uses that particular phrase that if one is not engaged in the good works of Krishna consciousness, then he will be forced to be engaged in activities dictated by the illusory energy. So that's what happens. See? So if we're not prepared to be Shreya, I heard Prabhupada use this phrase in a lecture this morning, Shreyaskama, you know, lusty or desiring the ultimate goal, for ultimate benefit. Shreyas means what's ultimately beneficial. Then we're going to be Prayaskama, which means what's immediately gratifying. See, there's no, like, you know, neutral thing. It's not like you can say, well, I don't want to be aggressively try to get the mercy of Krishna, but I don't want to go after Maya. No, it doesn't work like that. You're forced. As soon as you make that choice, no, I'm not going to try to get Krishna's mercy, then you're going to be forced to be aggressively, you know, trying to get sense gratification. Okay? And then what happens is, referring back to what I said a couple minutes ago, that's the root cause of all the problems in human society. Because in human society, what do we see? Competition, cutthroat competition for sense gratification. I mean, everybody's trying to be the Prabhupada says this, the topmost head man among all men or nations or something like that. And why? Because because people are an illusion. They're thinking that this material sense gratification is what's going to make them happy, and everybody's competing to get more of it, the best of it, like that. And hence, quarrel and hypocrisy. You know, quarrel and hypocrisy. That's at the root, you know, of quarrel and hypocrisy. In Latin, it said, malorum est cupiditas, which means money is the root of all evil. Or it could be translated greed. You know, greed is the root of all evil. So where does the greed come from? The greed, because we've got to be greedy for something. You see, if you're not greedy for Krishna's mercy, then you're going to be greedy for material sense gratification. And when you're greedy for material sense gratification, you're going to run into a lot of competition. And hence all the problems, you know, that are going on today can be traced back to that. So, yeah, we have to be aggressively seeking Krishna's mercy. And in order to do that, we really, and it's another pointed out in this verse, we really need the help of a bona fide spiritual master. As Archie has pointed out in at least one class I can clearly remember, and probably several others, people have a tendency to think that, okay, you know, for different material things, yeah, you need expert guidance. You know, when your car breaks down, you need the expert guidance of a mechanic. It's not enough to just be sincere. Oh, my car's broken down. I sincerely want it to start going again. I sincerely want it to run properly again. Okay, that's good. That's a start. But that's not enough. You got, unless you're Ratna Bhushan, you know, somebody like that, who I've seen fix every different thing, you know, that went wrong with a Chevy Suburban. But if you're just an ordinary person, it's not enough to just sincerely desire, oh, my, I wish my that my car works properly again. No, you got to go to the mechanic. He's got to work on it. You know how is required. Expertise is required. Same thing. If you're ill, it's not a good idea. I mean, and this is another really in vogue sort of a thing these days that, oh, what do these doctors know? What do these physicians know? It's just like, I'll heal myself, you know. Good luck. Good luck. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, it's like we're helpless. So there is knowledge out there. You can make a certain amount of progress. You don't have to necessarily go to a mechanic if you blow a light bulb and you're, directional signal. There's certain things you could do, but for the serious stuff, you need expert guidance. I know myself. About 10 years ago, plus or minus, I got upper respiratory bad, and I thought, okay, yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to go to a doctor. What do I need these doctors for? I'll cure myself. I'll fast. I'll drink, ginger, lemon, and honey tea with some cayenne pepper in it. You know, Burmastra, and I'll get better. I'll just fast on that, and I'll get better. Anyway, I almost died. You know, was the result. I just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And after about a week, you know, I was having difficulty breathing. My lungs were filling up with water. It was I learned my lesson. You know, I went to the doctor. And said, "What the hell? What are you doing? You know, don't you feel bad?" I said, "Well, yeah, I feel horrible, but why didn't you come?" As well, I thought I could. Okay, so they put me on anyway, whatever. The rest is just history. But yeah, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You know, you have some serious, health problem. You got to take shelter of a qualified physician. Otherwise, you stay sick and maybe you could die. You know, could happen. Or you have some serious legal problem. You know, if you don't seek out the proper help, you could be in prison or you can get executed. I mean, there are serious consequences, you see. So just like in material life, there's serious consequences for not seeking out, you know, expert guidance, okay, when it's required, right? I'm not saying it's for every little thing, but sometimes expert guidance is required for the big stuff, for the serious stuff. So in the same way, in spiritual life, you've got to seek out expert guidance. And that's the spiritual master. You know, the spiritual master is like the mechanic, the physician, the attorney, all rolled on the spiritual level, all rolled into one. He knows. He knows how to reconnect us with Krishna. You see, it's Prabhupada used to be fond of saying that Krishna consciousness is a science. So, you know, in what sense? It means it's precise knowledge. It's just like the mechanic. He has precise knowledge. You know, he just has to pull open the hood, turn on the engine, if it goes, and he just hears or sees what's going on, and he knows. It takes him all over like about 30 seconds, a minute or two, and they sometimes, and they just figure it out. Okay, yeah, I know. This is what's wrong with it. And he knows exactly what to do to fix it. You know, and boom, 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 and it's done. Same thing with a physician or an experienced attorney. They know. They know. They went to school for it. They were educated to understand what that field, you know, that particular area of knowledge, and they've been practicing it for years and years, and it's just like, boom, you go in there with the problem, and they just know exactly what it is and what to do to solve it. So in the same thing with Krishna consciousness, the spiritual master knows. He knows Krishna. You know, he knows Krishna likes to have tulsi leaves on the preparations that are offered to him. You know, he knows that Krishna likes to, you know, hear his name chanted. I mean, you can't, speculating, you'll get nowhere. Yeah, speculating is absolutely a total waste of time when it comes to spiritual life. You know, just like speculating how to fix your car, or speculating how to, you know, cure your disease, or speculating what to do about your legal problem, That's dangerous. That's really, you're going to get nowhere doing that, and probably you're just going to get in a lot of, you know, make the whole thing worse. Things are going to get a lot worse. And even Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, on that famous first, Tadvidi Paripatena, Paripashne Sevya, he says that you can't just read books. You know, I mean, there are books on how to, you know, health, there are books on law, there are books on car mechanics, you know. But most likely, just by picking up the book and studying it, you're not going to be able to, you know, learn what you need to learn to actually solve your problem. You got to go to an expert. See, so it's the same thing, you know. Even in Krishna consciousness, it's you need the expert guidance. You need the guidance of an expert person to really, you know, help you solve the problem. And so we're fortunate. We've got that. And the real thing now, we have to plug in. You know, you got to plug in. That's the real thing. It's not. It's one thing to know, okay, yeah, Papa was a bona fide spiritual master. That's a big thing, and that's a big step in the right direction to have that confidence that, yeah, Papa's a bona fide spiritual master. Papa really was the external manifestation of the super soul, the you know, transparent via medium, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Da-da-da-da. Okay, and now the real thing is we got to plug in. Plug in means just. Really try to, you know, remind ourselves, and this association is all about, to remind each other what are Prabhupada's instructions and really follow them. You know, it's not, Prabhupada said, we don't want joint mess. You know, joint mess is like, you know, in the civil servants, they would, they'd rent some place, some hall or something like that, and everybody would come and they'd kind of share the expenses for eating. It's not like that, you know. This is to help everybody. The temples, you know, the community is meant to help people advance in Krishna consciousness, and that means doing it, following Prabhupada's instructions really meticulously, you know. Being there, I mean, I don't want to make anybody, I should feel bad too. We got to be there at Mangalarti. We got to, you know, it's recommended. Chant your rounds in front of Tulsi. I mean, if you don't do it here in the temple room, do it at home. Have a Tulsi plant. I mean, there's certain things. I mean, there's tons of things I don't do that I should be doing. You know, I'm thinking about maybe ones I do, but it's like the instructions are there, and they got to be followed. That otherwise, maybe we're kidding ourselves. You know, if we're thinking that I'm here and I'm not, you know, I'm kind of cutting corners. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. But anyway, it's okay. That's cool. Nobody's getting on my case, and I don't feel so bad. Okay, but are you making spiritual advancement? I don't know. You know, I mean, we shouldn't kid ourselves. If we're not strictly following, you know, just go with the analogy. If you're not strictly following what your physician says, are you going to get cured? Well, you may not. If you're not strictly following what your attorney says, are you going to solve your legal problems? Well, you may and you may not, you know. Oh, if you're not strictly doing what the mechanic says in terms of like the ongoing maintenance for you see, so it's the same thing. We got to do it seriously. You know, we got to do it seriously. It's not a good idea. And I'm myself included. I'm not, you know, I'm saying this, but I'm put myself number one top of the list is, you know, somebody who has to listen to what I'm saying. We have to, we have to try to really, you know, seriously follow the basic instructions that Prabhupada gave us. If we're, you know, if we have any realistic expectation of making advancement in spiritual life, and it's not like being around a long time, you know, it means that, you know, you can't necessarily assume that, okay, I've been around. I mean, I must be advanced because I've been around so long, or I must be doing things right because I've been. No, not necessarily. You know, I'll use myself as an example. Okay, you know, for a long time I was taking this Japa walk, and in one sense it was really good. It was really good, you know, because, you know, kind of like physically, it felt really good. I felt really invigorated. I felt myself getting healthier. But to be honest with you, you know, I was walking up hills, Kenneth Hahn Park, and this Baldwin Overlook, and this and that. But my rounds weren't attentive, you know, because sometimes it took so much effort and energy to walk, and that the rounds became like almost like a background, a secondary thing. I was chanting them. But it wasn't like that was the, you know, it wasn't like the top priority. Almost it became not the top priority of the activity. It became almost like background music kind of thing. And so anyway, at some point I realized I can't mess around like that. I remember this. It's up on the thingamajig over there now, maybe. I remember this purport from the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Prabhupada says, he talks about Haridas Thakur and how Haridas Thakur, you know, he used to chant 300,000 names a day in front of a Tulsi plant. So Prabhupada in the purport, it's in the Anchalila Volume 3, Text 100, he says, actually, no, we can't imitate Haridas Thakur. He was a Mukta Purush. He was a liberated soul. So, you know, forget about doing like that. He said, but we can follow his example. We can follow his example. And then Prabhupada said that chanting 16 rounds does not take much time, nor is worshipping the Tulsi plant. So he said, we can follow his example by chanting Hare Krishna in front of the Tulsi plant with a vow. That's what he said. And he said, chanting 16 rounds does not take much time, nor is worshipping the Tulsi plant difficult. But simply by doing this, one can become spiritually strong. And then he goes on to say, then a couple, I can't remember, that we have, therefore, we request the members of the Krishna Conscious Movement to do this. And he says, the process has immense spiritual potency. One should not miss this opportunity. Okay? So, you know, I mean, I read that and I thought about it and I thought about it and I thought, well, okay, well, I'm coming, I'm here for Tulsi Puja, I'm worshiping. But, you know, it's clearly making the point that, you know, chanting Hare Krishna with the Tulsi plant. Anyway, I just thought, okay, maybe I should do that. You know, maybe I should actually do that, literally, what it says. And I started a couple months ago, and I'm experiencing the benefit. You know, I mean, I still love hiking around and walking, but not during the japa time. Now I'm just decided, okay, it's more important to get that japa the top priority. That's your quality time with Krishna. You know, that's like a super important time. It's like an opportunity to connect with Krishna in a very, like, intense way. Because, you know, and the temple is for that purpose. No distraction. You know, nothing you got. You don't have to be thinking about cars coming down the street or noise or this or that. You know, the things looking to get your attention. No, you're just here. It's just, actually, things are set up. So what to speak of distraction, there's attraction. There's the pictures. There's you know, this, even on the ceiling, we got the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, pictures all around the room, Prabhupada's Murti, you know, other devotees chanting. It's the whole thing. It's meant to help us, you know, get more and more into it, you know, to really focus and concentrate. So, you know, we should take advantage of these kind of things. And just one example, but in so many other things, the deities, everything. So, you know, Prabhupada gave us exactly, this is just, it's a science in that this is exactly what we need to, you know, to progress towards pure devotional service. So we should try to take full advantage of it ourselves, and we should protect it. That's another point I could just briefly mention. It's good that you know, this is like a precious thing. So we have to we want to bring people in. You know, we want to encourage and be merciful to people, and at the same time, we want to make sure that nobody's coming and just takes advantage of the, you know, the liberality of devotees in general, and you know, just is not coming with a motive to learn or serve, but just coming to with a motive to exploit on some level. No, you know, that shouldn't be allowed, and it's not being allowed there, which is good. So anyway, so I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? So Chandrasekhar Prabhu. Waiting for a mic here. Okay, battery's dead, so I'll repeat it. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not aware of the distinction. I mean, Maya is a personality. Kali is a personality. I always kind of thought they were two different personalities. I couldn't answer that question. Somebody else? Sorry? Well, it seemed like it'd be both. I mean, the age of Kali is certainly the enemy, you know, in something to deal with, you know, but Kali, I mean, Maya is still there, you know. I mean, the age of Kali is sort of like part of maybe a big arrangement of Maya. But, yeah, I don't know what Prabhupada meant by that. Due to karma, can you help us?
Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would give the example of the police. You know, like the police car's there, the policeman's there. If you're not doing anything wrong, then the police aren't going to bother you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you do something wrong, then the police are there to catch you. So... So in one sense, you could say it's Maya, sort of like that. Krishna Bhakti Mukahana Boga Vanchakare Nikatashta Maya Tare Japati Adare. That the general principle is that if one turns away from Krishna, then Maya is there to catch one.
Right. That makes sense.
So even if you're in the material world, if you don't turn from Krishna, if you are Krishna conscious, then Maya is going to leave you alone.
Yeah, thanks.
So, but in the age of Kali, you could say it's very difficult because Kali is always trying to convince you to turn to Maya. I mean, that could be one way of looking at it.
So
it's just speculative.
In that statement, Kali would sort of be, maybe not synonymous, but kind of like connected with the our tendency to misuse our free will. You know, Kali is always enticing.
Misuse the free will.
Yeah. Because if you don't misuse your free will, like with the police, if you don't do something wrong, the police aren't going to be able to get you. If you don't misuse your free will, Maya's not going to bother you, you know. But if you do, and which is what Kali's all about, enticing living entities to misuse their free will, then, of course, then you're going to have a problem with Maya. Anybody else have any questions or comments? Yeah, Banabhata Babu.
So those are the different disqualifications of the age of Kali, and they're pretty much all pervasive. So, you know, any slight inattention, Kali's immediately there in so many different ways to, you know, to entrap us.
Yeah, Prabhupada said that many occasions. Okay, thank you very much. Gunter Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.